Do you have a break?
You get a one-time pass.
I can get you one.
Let's let Rich sit down and get his bearings for a minute, and Paul.
It is. I figured it is recording, so.
Yeah, we're not filming yet, right?
Oh. We're not filming yet, no. Although we do have a camera.
It's almost there.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
The red light is not on.
Yeah. Nope.
It's hooking up to the server right now. That's the, that's the last step.
Okay. Hooking it up to the what?
They were saying.
Server.
Oh.
Neil said if you see the red light on, that means it's recording.
I think so.
Green's on?
Green's on.
Green's on?
Yeah. Well, that's on. But you get
a... All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Can we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? Parker, that means you too. Okay, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Do we have any correspondence today? Moment of silence.
Okay.
Moment of silence. Silent reflection. Okay. Correspondence?
No.
Nope. This is just a reminder that the meeting is being recorded and may appear on the internet. Any recognitions?
No, but I would strongly encourage people to please go to our Wakelet. It's really is packed with things. I was, this is very unusual for me. I was having breakfast at the corner store, and somebody asked me how school was going, so I took my phone and I just moved it over, and the person was just in awe of the things that we've got available there, so I strongly encourage that.
Perfect. We have no presentations, correct?
Nope.
All right, do we have any public comment? No response to the no response. Board discussion items. Follow up on the Conval school board letter. So just follow up. We had a letter that was sent out through the NHSBA regarding Conval filing a lawsuit against the state. So we kind of discussed it briefly last week. I think we're going to kind of sit on it, marinate on it a little bit. And then we just wanted to follow up to see what everyone's thoughts were in terms of that stance, if there's anything we want to do with that. Do you want to talk about?
I guess there's a couple of ways that we can respond. I mean, the first way would be to jump into it kind of head first or feet first as being named in the lawsuit, which I don't know if we necessarily want to do. I mean, I guess Monadnock District has done that, and Winchester. I believe they're the only two so far. But the other way that seems like it could make some sense instead of doing nothing would be to do some sort of a letter supporting the need for education funding in the state of New Hampshire, which would support the bills in the legislature as well as this potential lawsuit. So maybe we don't necessarily mention the lawsuit by name directly, but speaking to the general issue, which is the important one of education funding, and how, you know, we need to work something out so that there's solutions for districts across the state of New Hampshire, because it affects all districts quite differently. I don't know if the superintendent wants to share. I know the Superintendent's Association issued a statement together, I guess, actually North Country superintendents, basically not thinking it wasn't so much the timing of the lawsuit wasn't necessarily a good idea because of the issues, the legislation that was pending in the State House right now. And, you know, that seems to be the general tone in other areas that I've talked with some of the research I've done. I don't know if anyone else.
I don't know what sort of financial responsibility we would have to take if we were to get in on the lawsuit, so I don't think that would be something I would feel comfortable doing. But I agree with Chris in the fact that we should acknowledge and maybe even support what Conval chose to do itself without jumping on board. You know, not just the support of, or not just stating that we're aware that we need more help from the state financially, but also supporting Comval for deciding to do this, because I don't think it was an easy choice for them.
Anybody else have any thoughts?
Have we talked to our legal counsel on if we decided to jump on board, how would that affect us and what we'd have to pay and anything else? Have we talked to anybody? Have we talked to our legal counsel?
Are you asking me that question?
I'm asking both of you.
I don't believe we've gotten that far, because I think we were waiting to see what the board's.
Why wouldn't we do that before we decided to do anything?
We can do that.
Yep.
Does that sound like a plan, Paul? Talk to legal, or do you have any thoughts?
I guess my only thought is, if we're going to say we want more money from the state, mm-hmm. the question becomes, where is the state going to get it from? Are they going to tax the towns more to get it? Or?
But that's not our problem, is it? Our problem is funding.
Well, it would be if they tax the towns more. It's just like one hand to the other.
Yeah, but
are we asking for an income tax or a sales tax, or what are we asking for?
Clearly, we're not getting enough money, not enough state aid. So it's up to the legislature to find that money. Right? It's not up to us.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think we have to ask. We don't have to present the solution. We don't have to ask for anything.
We can just indicate that it's a problem.
Well, the court decision, 10, 12 years ago, said they had to fund schools, fund education, and they haven't.
Right.
So,
it's like 26. It's
so anyway, okay. To me, it's like they're not adequately funding us, so let's find out what happens from our legal counsel. If nothing, then I think we just jump on board. I mean,
yeah.
But that's my opinion.
That's a very good point.
We could tax each school board member another $10,000.
Yeah.
With the cause.
And if your last name is Plady, we charge you $20.
There you go.
Wait for my check.
Okay.
Okay, so.
It's in the mail, right?
And as far as I've got, I haven't had detailed interactions. I know that Rich Cahoon from Caldwell did reach out to me, and we've actually kind of played telephone tag and message tag, but he mentioned those three options. He mentioned, of course, doing nothing, but he mentioned, of course, we could, name ourselves as Winchester and Monocacy, mm-hmm. but then he said we could also do a letter, which is a little bit, it's not as much of a commitment legally as far as being in the lawsuit, which is, I mean, I'm fine with reaching out and getting more information, but I'm almost thinking in the letter is probably more of the way to go at this point, unless we discover other information as we.
Do we want to start drafting a letter and then talk to legal at the same time and see if there's no ramifications for moving forward? We can consider that, and if there is, then we'll already have a jump on starting a letter. What are your thoughts on that?
Will legal counsel be able to talk to us about the financial component? I mean, will they know anything about that?
Certainly, I think the risk to the district, too. I don't know if you're like the ups or downs.
They would be able
to
advise and guide us.
Cons, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it makes sense for us to, I mean, we have the School Board Association,
mm-hmm.
I guess, reaching out to that legal counsel. I don't know if that's what you meant, Rich, or it's also the district. I don't know if it makes sense to reach out to the district attorney or not.
Yes, I would love your two cents.
The New Hampshire School Administrators Association has kind of hesitated to jump on board with this because they feel that the legislature already has in front of them some bills that they're looking at to increase the funding and change the formula. And what they've done is there are different approaches to how the bills are, and some want to address the adequacy formula, some want to address the equity, the equalization piece of things. So they feel the legislature is going to hold off until they get all of the presentations before them. Should this funding come from gambling? They talked about having mobile gambling units that go around the state setting up, and what would that generate? So New Hampshire School Administrators Association is actually held back on giving an official endorsement of the Conval. The superintendent from Conval did call me, and She suggested three avenues, and she said you could declare, you know, Hillsborough Dairy could declare themselves as complainants and join the lawsuit. This was after her speaking to their attorney. She said they could, we could, if we wished, the board felt this, that you could file its own suit. Mm-hmm. And then she said there's a third possibility, which is we could become part of it as interveners, which I would prefer a lawyer explain to you what an intervener is than okay. me. The state has several organizations that are sub-organizations of superintendents, and we belong to the Southwesters Association, which is part, which is actually Conval. And Monadnock and Winchester are part of. And then there's the Northern Group, and then there's the Seacoast Group. they're all in their own place in where they're going, because each of them represents different groups coming at it from different avenues. So I really like Rich's suggestion that I think that either the board should invite the New Hampshire School Board Association's attorney, Will Phillips, mm-hmm. Or Barry Christina. I think it would be Will that would probably come.
Yep.
Either come to a meeting or to have a conference call with, you know, maybe the chair and the co-chair, or yeah. see if we could get them to come to a meeting, the next meeting perhaps, and give us their opinion on it. Rich Cahoon had contacted me several years ago, because at that point in time, Conval was had the possibility of breaking up. Peterborough wanted to withdraw from Conval, and I think we all know that Peterborough is Conval. It's where the high school is and the bigger schools are. There are some other schools in the smaller towns, but a lot of this has evolved over what Conval experienced as what they felt was unfair treatment to smaller towns. the bigger town, the bigger Peterborough felt they were carrying a bigger share of the cost of doing business. And I think Rich and I talked about it. I relayed that they had called, and at that point in time, it was, I think, was he Antrim or Bennington? Mr. Cahoon, well, I know he's on the Conval SAU 1 board. That I think his
Antrim.
Yeah.
Antrim.
I think at that point he was looking at could Antrim kids come to the Hillsborough Dairy School District. So that's my experience with him is this has been an ongoing problem for them. Part of it's the internal piece of Conval, which is really cool because it's SAU 1, so you kind of like to, you really don't want to see SAU 1 blow up, but they were ready for that, and they decided to not put that on the ballot. But I think the bigger problem is the one that affects all cities and towns in the state of New Hampshire, is that we are not getting the funding that the Claremont decision decided we were supposed to get. Okay. And I don't have a number off the top of my head, but if you want us to, when we have the lawyer, we can take a look at if the formula was fully funded and we got what we were supposed to, how many millions of dollars that would be to this district. And it would be how many millions? It's not a small number. It would be an astronomical number. Changing the base from 3636 to something over $6,000, which is one of the things that's on one of the bills that's out there, we'd be doubling our base number. So I do think Hillsborough Dairy would be, we would benefit dramatically, incredibly. Because in addition to the base rate that we'd be getting, we would still continue to get part of the formula is how many special education children you have, mm-hmm. how many free and reduced children we have, and English as a second language, ELL, English language learners, we don't have a big population of that, but we do have a substantial number of special education children. We run as high as 24% of our children with special needs, and we have between 42% and 46% of our families free and reduced. So we would see some pretty significant increases, which would take an enormous burden off of the real estate back group.
True.
Paul mentioned pushing it back on the towns. Well, it is on the town right now, whether it's the town, whether it's the school part of the town or the other part of the town budget. I don't know how they would how the state could tax. I'm not sure what that means, but it does indicate to me that what may be a very strong indication that at some point in time a broad-based tax, whether it's a sales tax or an income tax, is definitely what's pushing this, and we're not getting the funding that the Claremont decision said that the state had to fund. Okay. It was a constitutional decision,
mm-hmm. Okay.
that it wouldn't be pushed back on the real estate tax, basically.
Okay, so next steps, kind of pursue legal advice and guidance, and then we can circle back on it. Does that sound like a plan?
I was just going to share, just to back up kind of what Mr. Hassa said too, one of the things that Rich Cahoon had shared in the message they sent over to me too, was I think even with Calmvale, they're not so much after the actual solution of like broad-based tax or gambling or anything like that, but more the political will of how to define an adequate education and kind of the legislative define it. Because, I mean, he actually referenced, he said, we'd be very interested in having Hillsborough Daring on the team. While the numbers do not matter to the legal arguments, they do matter in terms of generating the political will to actually comply with any court orders, which you know has been an issue in the past or a problem in the past. So it's more, I think it's more, their goal is probably more visibility to get this out there, to sort of define what inadequate education is, to kind of get it to the next level. However we fall, whether or not we, you know, get named as, you know, as COs or it's one of the other options or just writing a letter, we're helping to kind of bring this to the surface and get some visibility for the issue. Okay. Thank you for that.
All right. Anything else on that topic? Okay. Public relations. Herla, that was something you wanted to talk about a little bit.
Are we gonna have someone come to the next board meeting, or is
I think
that
we can pursue. We okay. can outreach them and see what we can do.
Is that
either a conference call or see if they're willing and able to come to our next meeting? We can outreach them. Yeah.
Should we start coming?
We'll outreach to the New Hampshire School Board Association and see if we can get them to either attend our next call to speak to us on their opinions and perspective, or. Maybe
public relations is part of that.
Public relations is separate.
That's the next topic.
Sorry. Okay. Public relations.
I would like to figure out a way where we could reach the community other than the parents and teachers who already get Wakelet, the email. It's great, you just yep. tap on it. So one of the things I was thinking about was an insert in the Stonebridge, and I ran into Michael at the post office quite a while ago, and I was asking him about the costs of something like that. And correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but a full sheet, you said, was
$60 $1,000.
Right, and there's about 2,000 he estimated
in this area.
Yeah. So if we were to do something like that monthly to reach out and show the positive things happening in the school so that everyone would start to see the good things, and maybe it would minimize some of the negativity that we see in town an awful lot towards the school. It doesn't seem like it would be an extreme cost. If it was something that was done monthly, we would do it for 10 months of the year, and there could be bits in each from each school, you know, so that's $1,200.
Annual?
Mm-hmm. That's a half page, or?
It's a full sheet, right?
So well, I'm seeing like email having advertising inserts.
Yeah.
It's in that
kind of a format.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So it would be kind of similar to what we have on the Wakelet, maybe a little bit more detailed and include.
Well, the Wakelet
we
get once a week.
Right.
So, I mean, if we combined.
Right. Because we see a lot in the papers about DECA and sports.
Right.
They're very good at marketing themselves. So this is looking more to market all the schools and all the programs and activities and whatever that's going on.
Okay. That was my thought, yeah. Just put the positive stuff out there.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
I think it's worth exploration, but maybe trying to, maybe getting some insight from the administration too, as well as kind of a plan for how we'd want to feature things on that. We're looking at, how much visibility are we, hopefully we're going to have some good visibility from the readership. I mean, it's 2,000 issues, I think, Hillsborough and Washington, or is that just Hillsborough?
Just Hillsborough?
For the 2,000. We would make sure that it would go to Washington. After all, they're part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think also just having some sort of a marketing plan, a theme, so it's at least sort of a plan of how we're gonna be putting out there on a monthly basis.
So we would need to brainstorm probably what content you'd want to see, what content you wouldn't want to see.
There would be significant delegating. It's not something that we would all jump in on and start.
Right.
Writing,
yeah.
But it would need to be broken up to the schools and then someone overseeing, and I don't know logistically how we would get the information to printer and all that. Somebody would need to work with Michael on that, but we need a different medium than the technology that we're using.
Poor Carol.
Nice try, Carol.
Poor Carol. Does anybody have any thoughts? Do you guys like the idea? Do you not like the idea? Should we pursue it? Does anybody have any?
Can we also hear maybe from?
Yeah.
If you'd like to hear from me.
Do you have any thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts.
I know.
I don't know if this has been tried maybe before us or in the past.
It's always done historically for decades. Most schools, most communities.
So why aren't we doing it now?
Do a newsletter that went out from the schools, not to the newspaper, but they went out as a newsletter that was mailed home or was stuffed in the mailboxes, in the kids' backpacks. And we would generate, the high school I was at, we had maybe 25% more kids, but we'd have a stack of newsletters that was this big that were going out, and some were being mailed and some were being put in backpacks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And as we went away from a paper world, that really was a savings in time and cost and coordinating it. I can't say enough about logistics, because there is a lot that will have to go into this. There is going to be somebody that is going to need to be in charge of pulling all those pieces together. I do think that you will see a lot of the three principles pulling together just a lot of the stuff that's in the Wakelet and putting it into a printed format. I don't see that as the biggest problem. It's more or less collating it and, okay, what's our deadline if we're going to get this into the newspaper? How do we format it? I want to tell you that I'm surprised at myself for saying this, but I am 100% in favor of this. And the reason that I say this is that I've lived here 7 years, I use this to get 90% of my information. I sit a couple times a week and maybe twice on the weekends at the corner store with people that are my age and within 10 years on either side that do not use these at all. And their only medium are the two local papers. That's to reach that population. And I think it reflects some of the disconnect that exists in the town, that you have a population that when they see this, they tell me that they're a convert, and that anybody says anything about their schools, they don't badmouth it anymore, because they sat for 5 minutes and they looked at all of the things going on. One of the Wakelets this week started with a young lady who got a silver award, I think it was, in the art competition. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen it yet in the newspaper. It'll probably get there, but that's already been out, and that child's been recognized. We had students from New England College come and work with our second graders on engineering last week, and the whole engineering process of having a problem, trying to come up with a solution, testing it out, and then trying again. That was a fantastic little blurb that was just a square with four pictures, but it showed what second graders were doing in Hillsborough Deering Elementary School. And yet there are people that think we don't do anything along that line. Mm-hmm. We had a group of New England College students come, were they at the middle school or the high school, that were working on, Josh, maybe you can help me here, might have been at the middle school, on the hospitality field. Maybe it was the middle school.
I think it was the middle school.
That's not something people know, and I think it's, I can't say enough about the coverage that you provide. It's fantastic. Always has been since day one here with me. But there's a generation that doesn't see another whole chunk that's so electronic, that's so fast, that's so voluminous, I think would be the word. Mm-hmm. I think we need to reach out to that population, because when they look at their tax bill and they see what schools are costing and they don't see what they're getting, they only see one good side and one consistently critical.
I think it would help with transparency and messaging and just community relationships too. So the cost would be my only concern as well, because we obviously don't have that in our budget anywhere, and is that something that we would be able to find funding for if we started the next, say we started in the fall?
Well,
there is a board budget for some things, and not all the dollars always get used, so.
That's something we could. Okay.
Maybe, I mean, I guess in the past, historically, was it done as a paid initiative, or because I heard you say that it was a letter that went out from the board, either the chair or the vice chair?
That was separate, I think.
Yeah.
Rich and I had this talk multiple times. In my previous life, the board chair would sit down the week before the board meeting and we would do the agenda, but she always had a yellow legal pad, and sometimes the stuff on her list went over to the second page. She enjoyed really writing those letters. She, it was something that was a passion of hers. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it should be a board driven. We're willing to do whatever you want us to do. But I do think the political piece of it is there, that the public knows that these things are happening and that you're involved in the decisions and you may be seeing things that other people aren't, and you want to make sure that's shared. So I think it's not just the superintendent can do a letter every week. Mm-hmm. And I've seen superintendents that do that. And then the week that there's no really interesting news, you write a letter of fluff, and you do two of those and people don't read your letters anymore. Oh, it's just that blah, blah, blah from the guy that's going to write the letter. Mm-hmm. I keep my messages short, sweet, and as factual as can be, because I think that's what most people want. So.
I was in the middle of the transition from when we used to get the paper from the principal.
Yeah.
But again, that's nothing like this, because it only went home to parents. It only got in those children's backpacks. So making an effort to reach out, as you said, to the community that isn't digitized, it is very important. I don't know how we would make it so that it's our decision. We would decide on it, obviously, but I don't know how we would transition that as this is our decision, because it would be mostly done by the administration, I would think, as far as the principals putting things together from Wakelet. And again, we are given all of that information. You know, now I'm getting some things at your school from the middle school, which I get the high school and the elementary, but I never had things going on from the middle school this year. So, I don't know how we would make that whole connection. So.
We, in the fall, we have an open house, more or less, for everybody at each of the schools, but that's one time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What if we had an open house once a month for the schools? Invite everybody, not just parents, but everybody from the town, have a walk through, see the library. There's people, I would guess, half the town has never set foot in the middle school. And just have a walk through, see the gym, the layout, and walk through some rooms. I mean, this is after school, of course.
Right.
Not to interrupt the the kids, but something like once a month, put it out there, make sure everybody knows. If we choose the second Wednesday of the month or something, people can gear up for that or whatever they.
That's a good idea too. I would think more quarterly thing or a few times.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, because what monthly is a lot.
Yeah.
A lot to ask for who's going to be there. You know, I mean, who will be around when people are walking around the building?
Oh, we'll be here.
Both of us?
We got nine.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on a newsletter concept?
On what?
The newsletter idea. Did you like it, not like it? What are your thoughts?
Got to be, like Bob said, short and sweet, or, you know, just, it's filed.
Yeah.
I think there'd be a lot of pictures, like how the Wakelet comes out, you know, picture and blurbs.
Yeah.
That's how I picture it. I mean, not like big, long articles.
Would they be color?
That was actually that was the advertising color.
Well, on an insert, you can do what you like. You know what I'm saying? If you're inside the paper and doing a page or something, then we have to lay it out and we have to figure out whether we have a color page for it and that and the other thing. But an insert can be just about anything. I mean, you know, it can be, you can format it and do what you want.
How much more is it?
To do what? To do
color?
I guess that really depends on where this is going to generate from. In other words, who's putting together the actual copy and with what technology, you know? I mean, color is easy when it's online, but then you got to print it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a matter of ink.
Yeah.
Really, in the end.
Because we wouldn't want to print pictures if they didn't come out in good quality. That's but amazing. I'd want to make sure that we'd have equal representation from
the three schools.
The three schools. Yeah. It's almost like you'd have a standard layout, and then each school would be able to fill their chunk, whether it's pictures or content or whatever. But.
Like the other
three pages of inserts.
I almost see us looking at two different things too. I mean, we're looking at the picture, all, you know, as a paid ad, which we're hoping to make it look nice with color.
Yeah.
And then we're looking at possibly a letter that would be concise and not really long, but like a concise letter of the updates from the district, either not necessarily written by the chair, but from somebody on the board that the board has agreed on. And maybe that could be more of a monthly piece with maybe we don't do the insert monthly, maybe we do it more quarterly to start. And it would maybe help with the expense.
Mm-hmm. Rich, did you have any thoughts on it?
No, I'm still processing. I don't know.
So maybe
we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I mean, is it coming from us? Are we the originators of this? Are we in charge of what's in it? Who's it coming from? Is it coming from the schools? Is it coming from the SAU office? Or is it coming from the school board?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard that. So, I mean.
So, that's a good point.
You know, if it's coming from us, then I would think that we'd want to talk about some of the issues that are facing Hillsborough and Daring as well, not just a bunch of pictures of the kids, because while that's nice, it's not. I'm not sure that's going to help the issues of the town.
I agree. Josh, what are your thoughts on it?
It's a good idea.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet, that's all I got.
The longer version of that. It's a good idea, but I agree. You would want to be clear about what you want from the schools. You would want them to be equally represented. And it is a good idea because it does address the fact that there is a bit of a disconnect between the internal sort of the group of people who have kids in the school and those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
So bridging that gap is important, and I think this is a good way of doing that.
What would you see as student input? What would students' role potentially be in this, Josh?
Well, students could certainly, I mean, I could definitely see a place where students perhaps even contribute stuff to it, maybe, you know, even a student artwork section or something. Just something that to get the student to show, oh, look, our kids did this.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But again, you probably want to be pretty clear on what you were looking for before we moved any further. So I think that would be the first step is, you know, And also, you know, how much space you would have for this would be right. important. So, and an insert is pretty...
It's like a piece of paper. Kind of.
A fair amount there.
I think no. that if it would...
Oh, I know.
If it came out and it went to the population, I think it would, you know, like Paul said,
yeah.
it would reach that population. That's how they would find out there is an open house that Paul's
yeah.
running or, you know,
Paul's running
or Chris
the open
is
house.
Running that night.
So how about this? How about we table it and investigate it more?
Bring it back.
So Carla, can I charge you with, like, can we get buy-in from the three schools to help with that, and maybe brainstorm what types of things we want to see? Is it, you know, student input? Is it curriculum? Is it announcements? Is it, like, what kinds of things? Confirm pictures versus not pictures. Yeah. Like, maybe have another conversation in detail with Michael.
To speak to what Rich said, too, I was kind of melting on that for a little bit. You were mentioning where it comes from, the board or from the administration. Why can't it be both? If we think that through as we get, you know, as we get information from the three schools, because, I mean, ultimately, like, the pictures are worth 1,000 words, but there's issues behind the pictures. So if we can sort of weave something in where we're kind of explaining why we're doing certain things and then maybe what we'd like to do, if we could do that and not, without bearing that down too much, just... That way it's sort of, you know, because we're, you know, of the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, the board is of the district, and, you know, we're all one team.
Mm-hmm.
Must be a way of, if we can kind of weave that together. I mean, we've, and Rich is right. I mean, we've had this, I think, on the board retreat for the last 2 or 3 years, and possibly mm-hmm. even before that, before my time on the board, of wanting to reach out to the community. And we've kept discussing that with public relations and different forums and letters to the editor and articles.
Yeah.
But we... seem to only get to a certain point that we kind of stop. So it'd be nice, this would be a great way to, you know, as you said, to get the word out to that, especially the community that doesn't have parents or staff here every day, you know, so that gap.
So I think we just need to put some more meat around it and then
yeah.
think about it, because we want to make sure we're...
We'd do it well.
If we're... I mean, I think we would if we were to speak something about the board, it would need to be about the issues that are facing our schools, not... You know, not our spin on the issues that might face them in an upcoming election or something like that. We want to be very careful on how we present that as well. But
right,
you don't want to get caught up in what's known as electioneering.
Right.
And electioneering is using when you're using public funds to push a certain agenda.
Yeah.
So that would have to be part of the discussion that the board had that. Should the board decide they're going to put out an article, let's say Rich writes an article on the pros and cons of next year's budget, the pluses, the minuses, this equals that, that could be read that we're telling people to vote for the budget or to not vote for the budget or to vote for this warrant article but not this warrant article. And the law is pretty clear on it that you can't use the public
right.
funds to sway people. So I think Rich's point of, well, is this coming from the SAU? Is this coming from the HD board? Is this coming from administration?
Yeah.
That does need to be squared away. And you don't even have to ask if the three schools are behind it. They'll be behind this. This is a great idea, and it's a whole population that really does need to get information through another medium or another source. Or
so Herla has homework.
Okay, well... I want to be clear about where I was coming from with this, because it does sound like it got a little misconstrued. If it has to be from us, that's what I mean. I don't understand how we'll make that happen. I think that what I was looking for in discussing it was simply positive things coming from what's happening at the school so that people who read the paper can see that and be more optimistic. Nothing about us addressing issues, simply a more positive view that isn't seen on a regular basis by people who aren't hooked up with Wakelet. That's where I was coming from. So it wouldn't be just cutesy pictures about kids. It would be things that are actually happening. There's always a picture in Wakeland, as you've seen, with what it was that was going on. So, and then have it happen or come through each of the schools. You know, but that's where I was really coming from. Nothing to put us in the position of writing an article about anything. I wanted to keep it positive, and if it's something that's coming from us, I don't know, is that even going to be, would that be frowned upon more? Or would it be a positive thing? But as long as the schools were able to show the good things happening, it would be positive, I think, to the community. That's all.
Part of our research, too, I wonder if we can reach out to some other districts and other boards and see, you know, if there's other examples of what they've done like this. To sort of, it may help us in terms of it, because, I definitely didn't want to get into, you know, too into the issues as far as, you know, we don't want to tell people to vote one way or another, but just it's getting information out there.
So Herla wants to replicate the newsletter and the Wakelet in a print format.
Yeah.
Right, so
that's
everybody can see it. That's all. I mean, if it's happened previously where in the summer session this has been discussed and nothing's happened, I don't want to complicate this. Yeah. I want to make it happen,
okay.
You know. But everybody should be on the same page. It's not.
So then we need to figure out how we make it happen.
I mean, is that type of idea of it being similar to the Wakelet, but in print form, feasible, or it sound okay to you, to everyone?
What sort of timeline are you looking for? Because during the summer, the board has a retreat, and this to me seems like it would be a pretty good time to add to that agenda. what is it that you want? Because I'm hearing different perspectives of it, just sitting here, and I do think that a person who may be in the population of what we're looking for might really like, and I'm going to use Patty as an example here. Last year, Patty put together with grant funding a fantastic summer STEAM program, and it was a big success. Feedback was nothing but positive. And I think there are people that would like to know that this was a STEAM summer project and we're going to do it again this year, and it came from grant funding. And I think that's just a little piece of it that might make someone say, okay, and see things a little different. You can't exclude all of it, because what is it that person wants to see? I mean, if they had children go through, the most people think, well, you know, I benefited from it when my kids were growing up, and I, you know, now it's I'm older, even though I don't have any. You know, I know it's a better town because the school's solid and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But if they're not seeing the good stuff to know that, it's a good excuse to not feel warm and fuzzy.
It's good, because I mean, replicating the Wakelet, I mean, there are some weeks where that Wakelet is pretty large.
Yeah.
It would be hard. I mean, we'd have to figure out how to prioritize it to get it to a point where we could do it on a reasonable print.
I actually spoke to one senior citizen who lives in the housing over here, and she thought it would be great if they could put it on a cable TV kind of thing, or some sort of a server hooked up to the internet if there's a common room there. But she said they don't have that.
So why don't we talk about it at the retreat, and then we can maybe plan to maybe pick it up for the next school year. That might give us a little bit of wiggle room.
Can I throw one more?
Sure.
I think one of the things that helps most public schools, like along what Paul said, is getting people to come in. And when I first came here, I asked about adult education. And I was told that at one point in time, there was a fairly vibrant, robust adult education program. And I think that it might be worth looking into how do we get that started again. Is that coming from the school? Is it how's it funded? Is it user funded? Is it grant funded? You know, what are our resources there? I think that when a person my age who has grandchildren who's never held an iPad, and realizes that, you know what, they don't get homework in a notebook anymore, spiral ring things. If you told me when I got out of BC in 73 that there'd be no chalk and no and no blackboards, I wouldn't believe you. I'd have told you you're crazy. And if I told you that kids were going to walk around with a device that they can contact their parents through a text silently in while they're in a classroom, and that their homework is on Google, and you're a grandparent, you're sitting there, you're 67 years old, and you're sitting with a kid who, and you want to help them with their homework, and they have a device in their hand, and you don't know how to operate that. And, well, it used to be a worksheet, and you got 40 mm-hmm. questions every, you know, you get 10, Monday through Thursday night, you got 10 questions that you had to answer on math. And your kid's coming home with a device, and you don't know how to use it. Having parents, grandparents come in and be able to see this is how we do this, it's, okay. I think something like that would be helpful, too.
All right.
There is, I mean, just a file for the future, not to discuss too much. There is a Hillsborough adult education, correct? I think it's operated through the town. So maybe we can
I don't know.
That's
a separate topic.
It's very good.
We'll talk about that.
For adult literacy and whatnot. It's not
that's what I was thinking. So it's a little different than what you're, okay.
And all right. There are teachers at the high school that volunteer to teach small courses to senior citizens. And had talked about applying for a Duncan Jenkins grant to do that.
Okay. All right, anything else on public relations before we move on?
I just want to, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. The what we're finding, we have a growing web presence, and I do intend to get the general Wakelet hyperlink on there. Jen sent me one. It has the archived Wakelets.
Yeah.
We do find that still people are going to that print version.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's nice to look at the print.
You know, it does grow online, but I want to, this community needs both. But
I mean, even if we were to submit an article that says, hey, we have a Wakelet, here's the link, plug it in and sign up for it, or the newsletter, people still have to be computer savvy enough and understand what a Wakelet is or whatever the case might be to know that they should subscribe to those things. So.
Yeah, if we could get away with not having to print, we certainly would.
All right. Let's move on. It's been one of those days. Performing arts and other projects. So we briefly touched upon this last time. So in the spirit of continuous improvement, we need to and want to look at projects that the district needs to pursue and start to think about, not to find a new project, but more like in the spirit of continuous improvement. What could our kids benefit from? What gaps are we finding that we need to start to dig into while we have the bandwidth and the time to plan those types of things out?
That's probably something that the administration needs to be asked and see what they're
done.
Let's see. Okay.
It's been going on since I got here.
Yeah.
Jim O'Rourke in particular has been pushing for technical school program of some sort here. We send 20 odd kids every day from, they leave halfway through a period, they go to Concord on a bus for a half hour, they stay for a period, and then they come back halfway through a period. They're very often out of sync with their own lunch, so the both kids sit together at a table and the cafeteria is empty because they're not lined up with the others. There were a lot of challenges that go with trying to have a technical program that's off-site. The best way to do that is to try to return to the possibility of having some sort of a tech program in the district on campus. When the topic of the Performing Arts Center came up, there was a timeliness of that related to the folks on the board. There are folks on the board that were very close with Sally, and to make the trust kind of sink with that project, the timing was really, really kind of very positive at that point in time. But quite frankly, for several years, I've heard nothing but from all three principals, we need more hands-on things. We need more technical stuff. And there's actually a huge demand on a routine basis for family consumer science courses. With the state mandated testing and all of this focus being on passing a particular test on a particular day, and that the whole world revolves around that, we're really doing our kids an injustice. We're not serving one of their needs. And I'll give an example, telecommunications. Maybe Verizon and TDS and I don't know, all the others, Comcast, maybe they will disappear, but I don't see it happening too soon, and I see jobs in that. And I think that our biggest challenge that we're facing right now is the push for everybody to go to college. Works for some folks, but not everybody. There's a lot of unemployed, well-educated people. We often get compared to Finland and all these other places that are not remotely diverse and have one of the highest unemployment rates and the most well-educated unemployed people on earth, but they do really well on tests. And I'm sure they sit around unemployed drinking coffee and having intelligent conversations. But we're not worried about them. We're worried about our kids and what we can do for them. I think that we should focus on what those kinds of things are. Jim has been talking about this with me since the day I got here.
Other than Jim, is there any other?
Oh, yeah, middle school.
I was just going to say middle school, elementary school.
Middle school, elementary, there's no question. I mean, just what we did having the kids come in doing engineering, just talking about simple things, building a birdhouse. Right now, Kathy Bennett has a fellow that comes in the after-school program, and he's coming in, and he's building a table made out of birch.
Yep.
Do I have that
birch,
right?
Birch legs.
Yeah.
And
come.
Yeah.
We're talking about you.
Kathy, come on in.
Tell us about the table. Oh. Tell us about the table.
The wooden table that's being built.
With the mosaics.
Oh, it's so
the person
cool. It is so cool. It's... did it with the fourth graders who did the one on the outside of the building because they already knew what they were doing. I didn't.
So it's all mosaic
and
on the top.
And we have a parent.
He was hanging out there.
Who built the table piece of it with birch tree legs.
Yeah.
And the kids are doing the mosaic on the top, and then he's going to come in and grout it and put the border around it and everything, and we're going to use it as a door prize at our pre-sale.
So that's what I want. I want that to happen during the day, not just in the after-school program.
Yes. So talking about something like that, though, that's like an addition to a, like that's a big...
That's adding a program or adding space, adding equipment, and that sort of thing. I'll stop on the educational piece for a minute because I know I talk too much and I could go on for 2 hours on that. If you want me to, I will. Whether it's woodshop or cooking or sewing or... I think they do a really good job with personal finance at the high school level, but I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it at the lower levels, having the kids have a good money sense at an early age. But the other piece would be some of the things that we keep kicking the can down the road on. I think if you took an aerial photo of the campus, I think the paving would look like a quilt, and I think that that's something that we keep... put kicking down the road, and one example that I'll use, if you go up Hillcat Drive, you're going to find that there are, I'll just say four, because I think that that's conservative by the time you get to the high school, four patches that you'll notice they have a storm drain in them, because they're not just a pothole, the culvert collapsed. So we keep spending $10,000 to $15,000 with these little patches, okay, instead of, it's penny wise and pound foolish. At some point in time, we're going to need to address the paving issue. That's a very big number. You've got field issues. We look at the field up at the high school behind Ernie's barn, the red barn that's up there. And several years ago when John Butler was here, we had an engineering company came in and did a survey of that field to see what was the likelihood of getting that to be a truly functioning field. And what the engineers said was that it was the place where they brought the fill from the middle school, and it's basically compacted silt and rock, and it just doesn't drain. It's a wonder of science when you're standing level with the entrance to the high school and that field is probably 10, if not 20 feet higher, mm-hmm. that the water doesn't drain out of it, but it can't drain out of it because what the substrate is underneath. They're recommending if you're going to do a field there that you start fresh and you scrape it down and you begin and you start the field fresh right above there. Those are a handful.
So you said the tech program, paving yeah. fields.
That's just some off the top of my head. There right. may be others. That...
So I guess my first question is, what are the thoughts on any of those or getting a deeper dive on things that we're, gaps that we have that we haven't addressed?
I would really like to know if we have existing staff with abilities and any time that they could contribute to something like we used to call shop and what we used to call home ec, family consumer science, is that
yep.
That would have the ability, if they had a block, to do anything.
Yeah. I can answer that one pretty quick. No.
Okay.
Right now, all the teachers are scheduled. There's nobody that has free time that isn't used. Okay. I'm trying to think of the person at the middle school that does some of the woodworking, Mitch Silverman.
Yeah.
He's the one that comes to my mind right away. We could look. That wouldn't be hard for Carol to do, to look at certification and see if there's somebody. But it's not that we'd have to reposition them anyways. I'm totally in favor of that. I think that they do some really nice work, but they don't do the volume of stuff like that we need to do. I don't know how you could get around that without it being a budgetary issue.
I'd like to see like a needs assessment almost on yeah. what we need need yeah. in terms of gaps and what we still need to see in these three buildings and programs wise. And almost have them ranked in terms of here's the biggest gap, and here's the biggest need. And then I think we could look at them a little bit.
James did that for the... When we did the town-wide strategic plan, part of it was that we had to do a prediction of projects that we needed. Mm-hmm. And I think that James presented that at one point in time, if my memory serves me correct, of when we would anticipate roofs or paving or boilers or et cetera. Things that need to be remediated. We do the asbestos removal in dribs and drabs as they come in, depending on the urgency. For many years, the inspection would pass here, but the corner down here that we redid last year, there was a new inspector, and the same wear and tear on the floor all of a sudden wasn't acceptable, but it looked kind of like it did before. So we keep doing these things in chunks, and I would agree a needs assessment, but I think the needs assessment should be broken down into educational needs, facility needs, that sort of thing. Facilities being broken down into buildings and grounds as separate entities.
Yeah.
Before we go down this road too far.
Can I mention for the new board members going back a few years, we wanted to get language into the middle school, start them at an earlier age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we looked at that, and we talked to everybody, and they said, there's no time. We have
no time in their day.
There's no time to do that. To do that, so it's still with the high school. Hmm. But you can't put 10 classes in 6 hours.
Yeah, that's a good point. Rich, what was your comment?
You guys are obviously talking about another building project. And before we go down that road, I mean, what did Duncan Jenkins have to say about performing arts? I mean, last we left them, they weren't willing to commit to anything until the public committed to a $35,000 to do a feasibility study. The public declined. What did Duncan Jenkins have to say about that?
Not much.
So was it
wasn't on the agenda.
Pardon?
It wasn't on the agenda. So we didn't have an in-depth conversation. I'm hoping that Catherine can...
I mean, one of the reasons why the Performing Arts Center was such a
a good enticing project, I think, for the community was the fact that Duncan Jenkins was going to help pay for a significant portion of it, at least how so we hoped. Until that gets sorted out, I'm not sure that we should think of any other projects. And if we do think of any other projects, I mean, we've tried putting an alternate, moving the alt-ed school over here out back up behind the high school, which would have paid for itself. It would have actually saved us money. Mm-hmm. And the public declined. Okay? A couple of years ago, we tried the playground elementary entrance project. Okay? That was probably about the same amount of money. The public declined. Okay? We had the performing arts this year. The public declined.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that, in fact, I'm 99% sure that bringing any other project to the public building project without a good reason for it. I mean, our enrollment is not expanding. It's at best stable, maybe decreasing just a little bit. I think we'd have a hard time building a case for the economics of adding anything new to this campus. I just don't see how we could possibly do that with the climate that is today. And also not knowing what's going to happen with the performing arts thing. Because in my mind, because of the funding, that would be, in my mind, the number one issue. If we're going to do anything, we should do that again if they can come up with how they want to fund this, then maybe we should think in terms of doing that. But other things, without any other funding, I think it's going to be a very, very difficult sell, if not an impossible sell to the public. My opinion.
No, I appreciate that.
Can I just reemphasize what Rich said? The moving the alternative high school program here was kind of an issue that was handed to me to work on, and we presented a plan that would save the district $70,000 in the first year, and probably closer to $125,000 each year after that. Gene Mogan, who was the business manager at the time, had hoped to finance that in a bond that would be between 7 and 10 years, and that was 5 years ago. So at the very least, the loss to the taxpayers in not supporting that on common sense rules was about $500,000 in that decision. So I agree with you, Rich, that if the public doesn't support this project or this project or this project, I do think you have to be on really solid ground in what you present. And my question is, though, is it just that we haven't presented the right project?
Which is why I kind of wanted to see the needs assessment, because
yeah.
I'm new. I will totally own it, and I don't know the history behind why we got rid of certain things and why we tried to do certain things. But I think we're somewhat fresh, and it's a different situation, and it's a different board. I'd like to see the needs assessment to figure out what we're dealing with.
We're maybe forgetting that we do have some spaces. This doesn't have to be something that, we could do things slowly because the space is there in the middle school for the family consumer science, and why that isn't being used in that manner exclusively, I don't know. I know that it is being used for some.
Yep.
As far as, it's interesting to hear, because I wasn't coming to meetings, I guess, when the discussion happened to get languages into the middle school. Where I went to school, I had language. They found time. There was one teacher who taught French and Spanish, and those were our options. And she was booked, and she taught 7th and 8th grade. 6th grade, I don't think, was involved. But, you know, it's those types of things that we need to look at.
What you're describing is a very different issue than you're talking about adding programs. not adding space.
Right.
That's a very different issue. I think what they were talking about, or what with the road they were going down, was adding space to the school, not programs.
Right, and what I was hearing was
a little bit of
programs, and possibly there'd be a need for space. I was just hearing the program component of that. I think we put both our minds together. We'd hear the whole thing. But yeah, I was thinking more of the program component, not as much.
Well, the program component has to do with the budget. I mean, how much money? I mean, if we're going to start, for instance, if we wanted to have a French program in a middle school, it means hiring one or two teachers that would teach it. I mean, and that adds money to the budget. Mm-hmm. And every year, our budget is tight to begin with. Right. And adding a couple of teachers to that would make it that much more difficult to pass. Or adding home ec, or adding any of the other programs that we're talking about, it's if we have the space, it's just a matter of finding teachers to teach it. And the classes, if we have the classes available, then we'd also need the material to put in the classrooms. We used to have that at the high school. There used to be a couple of kitchens up there when they first put it up there. Why it's gone, I don't know. They turned it into classroom space. It wasn't a need, I guess, back when they removed it.
So is it fair enough as a next step to ask for a needs assessment for maybe projects and programs separately, academic facility, like Bob was saying? Do you think that's a fair and reasonable next step?
Can I call on Patty Parento for a second?
Well, you would be looking, when we get into more of the strategic planning component as we're going down this road, that's all a part of it, and it not only includes the academics, but it would include the facilities. We really do, this is our whole plan in planning out where do we want to go.
Okay.
A needs assessment has to be done as part of it, and we are, academically, we are continually doing the needs assessment. Right now, the elementary school is going through it greatly as a CSI, but we do it annually anyway for all the grants.
Okay.
I know you want something probably a little more in depth, but I think that's coming as part of where we're going.
So you think tabling it till the strategic plan tackles that?
It's all coming soon. It won't be there by the next meeting, but if you can wait, all of that is supposed to be.
I think you'd get a gold star if you could have it for next meeting.
Well, it's not like you can.
I'm just kidding. I was kidding.
Maybe at the minimal too. Is there a way that we could sort of see just for our own reference, so that we can start to think in this mindset what was presented to the board by James a few years back?
Yeah, we can absolutely.
Knowing that, I'm sure there's things that have changed on it, but yeah.
Okay.
We can possibly use that. Possibly this as the strategic planning. I mean, maybe this is also another retreat topic.
We could talk about that at the retreat.
Yeah, the timeline for the treatment, which is, I don't know how that intersects with the summer.
Yeah, and then I think also circling back on the Performing Arts Center, I think circling back with Duncan Jenkins is going to be the next step to just figure out where their stance is. I know Bob said it wasn't on the agenda. I haven't seen the agenda for April yet, and we can think about circling back with them
and
see what.
The alternative program, the alternative school is going to come around again. I mean, what was it, a 10-year?
A 10-year bond?
10-year, yeah.
Yeah.
That was what was would have been.
No. What is our lease now?
No, the lease is much shorter. The lease is
3 years.
So it's going to come. It's going to come back.
It comes up every 3 years, and it's a terrible lease, and we're really kind of held hostage.
I mean, so this will be coming up. Will be the second.
Just the fact that there's a bus that runs out there every day, and that lunch has to be either brought out or the kids brought back, and. The staffing level that's necessary for a small number of people. And I just want to emphasize, it is a tremendously successful program. But if you're the bean counter, it's an expensive, really good program. So that was a choice that was made when, we could have brought it back here. And that's water under the bridge. That's hindsight. That's would be paid off in 2 years from now. But that's ship sailed. I mean, if you want to bring that up again, I think you'd wind up having the same committee come up with basically the same kind of concept. But again,
we could say 6 months and give you the pictures that we have from 5 or 6 years ago, and we can present it again.
There you go. There you go. All right, anything
else? I think it's going to have to come up again in some manner.
Yeah. Well, I think in 3 years, I think, is up. It's either, is this the third year or is it next year?
Where are we in the lease, do you know?
We need to negotiate.
I think it was my first 3 years. It was my last term when we renewed the lease.
And there's no saying that they will want us out there. There could be a time when they say they want to do that. And you do have facilities in town that are for sale. That, you know, if you don't want to bring them back and build a building, there are facilities in this town that are walking distance from here that are sprinklered and have push bars, safety bars in them. But is that something that the district wants to get involved with? Or do you want to keep things on campus? And if we were to talk about a technology improvement, would that be the time to dovetail the ALDA program, the construction, to see if there was a conservation of efforts there? You know,
Ongoing discussion.
Yeah. Anything else on that topic? All right. Superintendent's report.
Okay. Appointments, leaves, and resignations. As you know, by law, RSA 189-14A requires that the board does the appointments on or before April 15th. So you have the list attached of the renewals. And hopefully, and I want to thank Carol and Catherine for motivating us to get the packet out much earlier. And I think the packet went out earlier than it usually does. Thank you to your efforts. So, you know, people will hopefully have had a chance to look at them. No surprises on there. Okay.
Yeah, these are all rehires, new hires.
That's correct. The HDES comprehensive support and improvement update. As I mentioned earlier on when this process began, I think most people understand that the challenges at the Department of Education are frustrating to most everybody. And it was hurry up and get in here so we can run an informational seminar while we look for two vendors to help you with the CSI project, and then 8 weeks later, still don't have, six, 8 weeks later, I think it might have been more than that, I don't know, and before we had a vendor that was going to help us in stage one. So we did go in, that was our first step to go in, and it was an information session. And the second thing that happened was that WestEd was eventually hired as the vendor. WestEd is a highly reputable educational consulting firm. It's my understanding, Patty, correct me if I'm wrong, 10 or 15 years ago, WestEd was brought in to do a lot of curriculum work. Some really good things were put in place. So they're working on the needs assessment for us to address the issues.
Phrase of the day. Yep. Just across the board at work and here.
Yeah, it's a need assessment, and what they've done with that is they've interviewed various people. We've had two separate seminars for the administrative team that's involved with this. They have not named a vendor for part two, and this money needs to be encumbered by September 30th. So the timeline has been, kind of a derailed train is, I guess, the analogy I can come up with. The funds that will be available to us are $115,000. I'm rounding off, it might be $115,400 because there were some very random numbers that they gave us. And there will be additional funding coming after that, but they haven't given us a date or a sum of money. So we're in a position where we need to develop a plan. What the restructuring or school improvement plan is based on four domains. I'll just quickly read the domains. Turnaround leadership, talent development, instructional transformation, and culture shift. Those are the things that drive educational changes that make a difference in a school that, quote unquote, is underperforming. I won't name the name of the school, but it was used for the last 2 years as a model. for outstanding performance. We were going to take a trip there. They're in the same group as us.
What?
Yes. So it's interesting how all interesting. Of these things come about. The turnaround leadership, we said to the DOE that we weren't going to wait for the DOE or the grant to proceed with our own plan for trying to generate improvement as far as the standardized test scores and the other things that they want. You had before you, and it was approved and supported and is already in place, that we have restructured the administrative team here, and that we have a principal that's going to be pre-K to 2 and one that's going to be 3-5, and we've hired a behavior interventionist, and we'll be hiring an additional guidance counselor to address things such as the culture shift, the mindset, instructional transformation. This year we had Polly Bath, who works with places that are seeing a lot of social-emotional challenges and Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 behaviors. And talent development, thanks to the good work of the board and the negotiating team, I think that we've done a lot to with the contract settlement to recruit and retain talent. I will tell you, it's a very competitive world out there. Right now there are districts that pay teachers and administrators higher, so there is a ceiling as to how much you can retain and how much that's going to cost. The professional development work this year has been really strong. So again, I'm sorry if I slammed the DOE too much, but we decided we weren't going to sit and wait to do the things that they recommend we're doing. So that's the short version. We had 2 webinars, staff survey. We had the information session in the beginning. And the number right now that's going to be available is 115,000, and that is going to be based on what the needs assessment says. If they tell us we need work in curriculum area, then that would be a need that could be spent on. If it was a staffing issue, if they came in and said, you know, you need to add an additional faculty, a staff member for the kindergarten, that this is where we need to bring the kids up to speed. Again, I compare in a previous life, 90% of the kids had come from a preschool before they came to kindergarten. And this new norm that's kindergarten is a new first grade is not necessarily the case here. We don't have kids coming in at the same readiness level that you may see other places. And maybe that is what they'll say that the needs are. Perhaps they'll say it's we need to do work around math. So once we get that, we can continue to develop our plan. Obviously, we do want to see who the vendor is going to be and what the vendor is going to have to say for us with a plan, but we don't intend to sit idly by and wait for that to happen. Jim usually rolls his eyes, Jim O'Rourke, when I say this, but the first year that the high school was identified as a school in need of improvement, was it a DINI or a CINI or a SIG or a... It was a SIG, school improvement grant. The high school got over $500,000, and they were able to get an awful lot done during that period of time. $115,000 is a lot of money, and we're very happy about it. But you know, we need to figure out how we're going to spend that effectively. Any questions?
No. So this is just one of the topics that I asked Bob to talk on a more regular basis, since the elementary school's challenges is pretty paramount right now, so we need to I'd like to have continuous updates to the board to see where we're going.
Sorry.
That's okay. We have a little
there's peeper. A little guy though.
We have a little peeper. Okay. Yes, sorry.
Okay.
Did anybody have any questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
The one good thing is we've gone through things like this before here, so there's a veteran administration. There is a veteran administration that understands the process that the state puts you through. If you would like, I would go on to the general assurances.
Yep.
Last year, the general assurances, the commissioner felt that there should be greater involvement from school boards in the grant process of what you're assuring, we're accepting this money, and We are assuring that it's spent in the way it's supposed to be spent. That has typically been the final sign-off, has been the role of the superintendent. And the assurances were on my shoulder, and I owned them, or whoever the superintendent was, they owned them. Whether you agree with his intent or not, he is the commissioner. So in your packet, you'll find a fairly good size.
Yes.
I forget how many.
It was lengthy.
I believe it was 16 pages.
Yes,
oh yeah, very fun reading. And it's one of those things where as you go down and you read them and you have to check off, is this happening? Is Bob doing this? Is Patty doing this? And it is a big responsibility, and the shift to have the boards involved, some things folks think that's a great idea, and some folks would rather not have anything to do with it and hire somebody that's going to take that responsibility with it. But one of the things I'll point out is if you go to page 15, there's actually a certification that this was more or less discussed, or at least, if nothing else, read.
Mm-hmm.
So we put it in the packet for tonight. But we don't expect people to have pored over it and read all 16 pages and come to a healthy conclusion. But how long do we have before I have to sign it? We've got quite a while.
It has to be submitted before June 30th, so all grants starting July 1st.
So we have time for you to, you know, to digest it.
Okay.
So I would recommend I give you a homework assignment.
Okay.
That you read it and give it, you know, if you have questions.
Okay.
I will say that I'm been typically the one that signs off on them, but Patty really is our grant person.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point in time, if you want to put it on the agenda, that you go through it, and you may read it and say, yes, we'll sign it, because it can be exhausting.
Okay.
Or you may want to say, can I ask you about this, and how do we do this? What's the process?
Okay. Does it make sense at all to at some point to have Patty speak to it, or is it better to answer specific questions?
I would prefer that you wrote a series of questions.
Okay.
That way Patty could be, you know, if there's any particular area, it would certainly help direct the conversation to move along reasonably.
That makes sense.
One or two pages
a night, right?
It's written like a federal document would be written.
It's about all I might get through before the policy.
So that's the general assurances. The business administrator's report, please.
Okay, I'd like to start with an audit update. I spoke with them this afternoon, and I should have a draft report by the end of the week.
Ooh.
And then it will go to the partner level review and quality control review. Before we can actually get it released, but that's where we're at right now with the audit.
So I
don't know if that means it will be here for the next board meeting.
So you're going to get a draft, or they're going to have a draft?
They'll have a draft to me to review,
and then it goes to their
queue for their
understood
process as well.
It's not ready.
So I don't know if it'll be ready for the next board meeting. It might be,
but that's
May.
Better than what it's been in the last year, at least. Is that better? You're like my audit expert. Is that good? That
about the same.
It's about the same as
right.
last year.
Seems like it's. Yeah. We didn't have it for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other point, I guess that if it, I'm not here the next board meeting.
Okay.
So I think it's best to plan on the first meeting in May for the audit report.
Okay.
Well, provided that they have it available.
Okay.
Which I'm going to push for definitely.
Okay.
Because then I'm available to answer any questions and speak to.
All right.
Maybe if it's ready, we could get it next meeting and review it to the phone.
Mm-hmm. And we could have questions gathered.
So digesting.
If that's
if
you get it.
If it's
if it's ready for other eyes.
Might I suggest that you go through the draft?
Oh.
Wouldn't be until you've gone through the draft.
No.
Correct.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Right.
The draft's for my review.
But I would say let's.
Yeah.
If you get it and you have a chance to review it and you can send it to us prior
mm-hmm.
to like having it on the agenda, we could review it.
I wouldn't be comfortable putting it out for anyone else
okay.
to look at until it's gone through their partner review and
okay.
quality control review, because the partner level might find something in disclosures that they have
mm-hmm.
questions about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it really needs to go through. They
okay.
need to be ready to to release it before it comes to the board.
What?
Health insurance rates, sorry, this is
your favorite thing.
So we had budgeted for an increase at 1.4%. Our rates actually are coming back at 0.6% less than what we've been paying for this year.
Oh, wow.
So what we did is when we do the budgeting, the system calculates, we put in the new rates, mm-hmm. and the increase, and it calculates based on the current subscription at that time and projects the cost. That's what went into the budget. What I did is I took the most recent invoice, so the invoice for April, based on those subscriptions, mm-hmm. I calculated what our savings would be right now. We're just looking at, it's only about $35,000, but it is a savings.
I should have asked you this earlier, so don't okay. feel that you're obligated to answer this. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to the last 2 years? Was it in the hundreds of thousands of dollars?
It's a much tighter, which yeah. we had anticipated because it was a lower margin for increase that we budgeted. And I meticulously went through every individual to make sure that there weren't any anomalies in there.
Yeah, and the number of the increase that you said was how much?
It was a 1.4% increase.
It was a 1.4. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we at one point get numbers where it was 9% increases prior to you coming here?
No, even a year or two ago, I think we were at 13 or 14%.
13 or 14%. So
right.
one of the things that's contributed to us having surplus funds mm-hmm. over the past has been a really large amount of money in surplus under the health care savings, because for the public, the public that doesn't necessarily know the details, get into the details of this, but that GMR, the guaranteed maximum rate, mm-hmm. the yeah. insurance company typically ran high on that
mm-hmm.
to protect their own interests,
right.
and then schools would budget accordingly, and then it would be a healthy return. But there are taxpayers who certainly don't appreciate that.
Right.
That they feel that's on our end,
right.
when in reality it's based on what their guaranteed rate is. That margin is very, very small. It's the smallest
yeah.
it's been in the 7 years I've been here.
Yeah,
that's a very, very small
margin. It's
number.
A very small margin. And to go along with that, in the past, because there have been such large increases, they've also had a very substantial surplus,
yeah.
and so they've given monies back.
Right.
They haven't given monies back for 2 or 3 years, and that trend is continuing. They don't have a reserves. Their reserve isn't meeting their actuarial number yet, so there are no returns being made this year as well.
They used to have a meeting, I thought it was in January or so,
mm-hmm.
invited people in. Did they have that? I didn't hear about that this year.
I don't know that. Did anybody go?
Yeah, that's an annual meeting. No, I did not go.
Did the New Hampshire School Board Association, though, they used to get that out to us, didn't they? Or was it the insurance?
I don't remember seeing anything.
It was actually the insurance company, I think, that ran it.
Yeah.
Didn't see it this year.
Okay. Liability insurance, we included in the packet the contract for the liability insurance. We have been carrying our policy with Primex, and if you recall, a few years ago, we entered into what they call the CAP program, and that stands for Contribution Insurance Program, where I believe the last agreement, they were guaranteeing that year to year, the maximum increase would be 10%, and so we could use that for budgeting purposes. This year, year to year, they're offering a CAP program that it's a 9% increase from, you know, year to year at the maximum amount. We had talked briefly about putting this out to bid to see if there were any private entities that would offer us better rates for insurance. What we have found is that there's a significant benefit to sticking with Primex. They're very familiar with municipalities and our needs and the quirkiness of a municipality and school districts. And because other school districts are relying on them too, it's very helpful when we need a certificate and proof of insurance, or if we have claims that come up that might be cross-district, they're knowledgeable about all of the facts. And it's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm recommending that we sign this, but it has to be signed by the board. It is a multi-year agreement. You know, costs would come up every year and be included in the budget, but it wouldn't increase more than 9% for the year.
Is it a 3-year contract, you said?
Yes.
How did the actual cost compare with the 10%
that we made? It did run at about 10%. But we had a large savings when we went to Primex when, what was it, LGC, when they went out of business. We did have a significant decrease in our rates at that point. And it is also, this is only for the property and liability program. They did not offer, I haven't received anything for workers' comp or unemployment this year.
Do we go through them for that?
Yes.
It's just a separate?
Yes, it's just a separate.
That 9% cannot be carried forward in our default budget calculations, correct? Because
correct.
The people are not voting for this.
Correct.
Well, what's our bill? How much does this cost us a year? Approximately.
I would say approximately $50,000.
Okay, so 9% increase is not a substantial increase, about $4,500. In a $20 million budget, it's not.
Yeah.
Significant. Mm-hmm. Well, some people may say it is, but
yeah.
It's not.
It's
not going to break
picture.
The bank.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out on the state level, because this is a perfect example of where the default budget not including this is not fiscally responsible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you know, if you know you're going to have this and you can predict that. People are always looking at us to do a 3-year or a 5-year down the road, yet when we sign a 3-year contract, we can't include it in a default. It's just counterintuitive. I know that there was an outrageous incident that happened in another district and it led to that decision, but
yeah,
the solution was worse than the problem.
Any other questions or comments?
I was thinking the same thing, so I thank Rich for asking that question. That's clarifying.
Okay. Anything for follow-up on the superintendent's report? Okay. We do not have minutes for March 18th, so we are going to table that till our next meeting, and we will review both March 18th and April 1st. Good Lord, today's April 1st, right? Okay. We'll review both minutes at the next meeting. Public comment. So no one was here for public comment, so I'm going to read my spiel now. This is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. Are there any comments at this time? Hi, John. Okay.
And my apologies because I got here late and the end is covered already.
Okay.
You talked about foreign languages being taken out of middle school. I mean, not put back in, or not put in,
mm-hmm.
but they actually were in both the elementary school and the middle school. We had foreign languages here, education. We had foreign language 5-6, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and then 7-8. At one point, it was the first year you got, I think the kids got like half a semester a
mm-hmm.
week so that they could see what they wanted.
Yeah.
But then our worst superintendent in history took them out, got rid of it, and then created a committee a couple of years later to study putting it back in. But there was plenty of room in the schedule for it back when the schools were doing,
okay.
presumably not much worse than they're doing now.
mm-hmm.
So it can be done. You got to the correct answer of Patty on the end. You're talking about all the needs. It's like,
yep.
We got to the correct answer because we're already spending money on it for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Dr. Jenkins. I would suggest that you invite Dr. Jenkins board here. I think the public would like to know why they are not spending the money on and are accumulating all this money and not spending it on the things that the will wanted it to be spent on. If they're giving $2,000 scholarships and they've got all this money left on, they ought to be given $4,000 scholarships. Mm-hmm. And they, if they're contributing money for teacher travel projects, which was one of the things it's for, and they're contributing 20% or 50% of that, mm-hmm. and there's extra money, they ought to be spent contributing more. That's what the and I think you guys are the proper vehicle to get an explanation from them as to why they're not doing that on behalf of the public and our kids and teachers. And, mm-hmm. I would suggest, in spite of the diatribe about the all school last time, the reason that didn't pass was because we had a perfectly good building that you refused to use, and you insisted on asking for new buildings as opposed to the buildings that we have, which you then destroyed. You being the administration and board in its entirety. You guys have a habit of asking for too much. When you wanted a playground, you insisted on trying to ask for all this other stuff too. As far as the pavement goes, you started a fund to it, but then you went and spent it the first year. And you know, the idea of having a fund that you're saving money towards, don't come asking me to do it all at once when you've had a chance to do this and you haven't done it. And as far as new buildings go, until the state starts contributing to building aid again, we can't do it. We're not getting enough money from them as it is. You know, they should, unless it is like a dire emergency, the building falls in, you should not be building anything until that's properly paid for. The 9% increase there, or something said, was not significant. Actually, I believe it was Bob who asked how much it was currently, and it actually did run about 10%. Mm-hmm. So if you add 3 years of 10% and 3 years going forward of 9%, you're getting to 57%, and that's not even in the percent when it combines. The words escaping me. That is a significant increase.
Yep.
And perhaps it would make sense to reach out and get an actual estimate or at least inquire of a couple of the companies, you know, what they can do.
Thank you.
One last thing I'll say, and I don't know what your discussion on it was, but I would suggest that what would be in would be to our benefit to join the lawsuit. We are a town that has suffered greatly under the funding system that the state has.
Thank you.
I did miss your discussion on that.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll see when you vote on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay, any school board response to public comment? Okay, moving on to action items. Is there a motion to approve appointments, leaves, and resignations?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
I was going to say, can we, I'd like to amend that to vote on the appointments, 2 and 2, Lou Jarvis first, Griffin and Haley second. My reasoning is I'm looking at the dates, And I'm saying, why are we voting on Griffin and Haley since they've been in the job several months?
Do you have an answer to that?
That's fine.
Okay, so we'll do...
You want to do the sheet that lists the appointments, leaves, and resignations?
This is for April.
Yes,
so let me... So can we get a motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations for April 1st?
Break it up.
It's March 21st, was the name.
I know, but it's listed on
the... It's the date of the memo.
It's the date of the memo.
So, make a motion to approve the appointments of Carla Luchev and Steve Cousins on 3/21/2019.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay, motion passes 5-0. I'd like to make is there a motion for the appointments, leaves, and resignations from April 1st for Katie Griffin and Christine Haley?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained?
I'll abstain.
Okay. So motion passes 4-0-1. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the teacher nominations for the 2020 school year per RSA 189-14A?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0.
Can I just make a note? I counted 112.6 sections. Maybe I counted wrong.
What is this? I'm sorry, what was the... Is that a statement or a question? Or is there a count discrepancy?
No, I just...
We're just...
Yeah, I'm saying it appears to be 112.6 teachers covered by...
Okay. 112.6 teachers. Okay. All right. Moving on. Is there a motion for the...
You can put up the general issue. We
oh, yeah,
weren't
we're
sure if you were ready for that.
Okay, so we're going to table that. We have homework. So we're going to talk. We're going to study, and we're going to table that. Is there a motion for the Primex property and liability cap agreement?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. Do we have it on public?
Nope.
No on public? That's all she wrote, so I'm going to adjourn. Right? 7:59? Okay. Did I miss anything?
Public hearing at the next meeting.
Just say it's a public hearing for the
15th,
the plumbing lid.
Yes, we did. I thought it was this week, but it's next week. Yes, okay.
Next meeting.
So next meeting we will have a public hearing in regards to
replacement
of the plumbing for the lead. Yes. Okay. Anything else? All right, we'd be done. 7:59. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? We're done.
Even though it's there, we don't do that.
Right,
we never have.
Right. To run
we,
on board.
You know, we usually accommodate all of us here, and
right.
We usually vote the five of us. It's very rare that we've done anything other than the five of us.
Well, and if we were to be any less than that, and we'd be voting on it, there'd be a motion. There'd have to be a second for that motion, and then there'd be a discussion. Yeah. So I mean, it might not even. Pass and it might come back to the five of us.
But if that were to be the case,
I mean, it's not our practice to do that, anyways.
We good? We gonna ready to vote? Okay, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
I'd like to amend that. Only people that have been on the board at least 10 years can make this decision.
Then I'll have to abstain.
If I can get a second, we could.